Live with Dance Roger.
Good morning, everybody. Andy Kemmy is in the house along with a very peppy Vance Rogers, who rolled out of bed less than 20 minutes ago because he rolled into bed much later than he wanted to. But the beauty of Niket is that we can, over time and sometimes, push our bodies beyond the limit that they should be pushed. And I've had a week of that. And but fortunately, what Andy and I and so many others have been able to enjoy is either maintaining this temple that God has given us, this physical body that we have, and keeping it in check, because when our bodies are at their ideal weight, and I proudly carry around my driver's license from high school, and I show that to people and say, you know, the company that we've been blessed to be on a journey with for almost three decades now has allowed me to keep these numbers the same. And there's been times where it went way much bigger, more, that's like saying more better, but much higher, as in 50 pounds more, kind of like crossing over into all 50 states. I was literally carrying an extra 50 pounds, and now I'm not. But we want to focus on, Andy's going to share first, and then if there are others that have just simply, you know, I didn't think this was a big deal, but this is a lesson I learned a long time ago. Or because of Niken, I've done this and it's really, really helped, and I've been able to help other people. But Andy, start us off where, because you and I were talking about this the other day, and fill us in on where you're at right now, and then let's go back a little bit and talk about mm-hmm. from whence you came.
Well, yes. I weighed in yesterday at 243, and a number of years ago I was 380. So a lot has changed, you know. It was just a mindset to do something. You know, at 380 pounds, I got to a point where I decided that enough was enough, and my goal is to get into shape and live a healthy lifestyle ongoing for the rest of my life is really what I had in mind. And when I discovered Niken, I knew that I found exactly what I've been looking for. And as it turns out, self-care, which we're all about, is where my heart was all along. And you know, so I just thought, you know, now's the time. I made a decision that I'm going to do this. And I've never looked at it as a diet. I look at it as a lifestyle. Because diets, you know, you try it for a little bit and you give up and all that. But another thing, this journey that I'm on, there's no speed limit. You don't have to do it in a certain amount of time. That doesn't matter. The point is that you're continually moving forward. You might take breaks now and then, but you pick up where you left off and you keep moving forward. So we do what we can, and of course life comes along. There's things that happen in life, you know, there's surprises and things that set you back with everything that's going on, and family, who knows, whatever it might be. But that's okay. We just never give up. We've made a decision to do it, and basically we're looking for because it's a lifestyle. It's a new way of life, and it really takes a mindset, you know, when we chart our course that, you know, that we're really committed. It all starts between the ears, you might say. We just need to, you know, that's where it all starts, and it's basically a reset of the mind. And, you know, when our head's good, the rest, everything else follows. So, you know, and you mentioned Vance just a minute ago about things. And the one thing I've really learned through this is that it's not any one thing, this journey. It's everything. Yes, it's proper nutrition, but you know, really, the reality is there's more. Hydration, drinking the what I call the water of life. That's probably the number one thing I've learned, to be hydrated. And it's, I don't probably reach my goal every day like I should, but that's, I still, you know, it's so important. And I see that that water is just everything. Maybe more important almost than the diet wheat, which I'm not going to, you know, say that it's not important. But then, you know, getting restful sleep, you know, being active, spending time with like-minded people, just all these things that we do. In other words, there's a balance in life. And we really need to be in balance. But what I found, too, that is, you know, we need to love ourselves. We really do. You know, if we're not right, how are we going to help others? We just can't do it. So, you know, we don't need to drag the past around and beat ourselves up for what happened. You know, that was yesterday. That's way back there somewhere. You know, looking forward to, you know, not to dwell on the past, but to become a product of the product. But, you know, when we get our own house in order, not only people see the results, you know, but you're feeling well, your mind's where it needs to be, and now you're able to be used in helping others. So that's kind of a basic rundown on what I found. But this last, since October, you know, I was struggling attitude-wise, and really what it was, just everything going on in the world today, and I just decided, you know, I need to spend more time with people that are like-minded, and I, you know, I got away from the negative people in my life, and I'm telling you, I'm a different person. So it's just everything. but diet too, you know, when it gets to the food, cutting out sugar, for sure, you know, and bread and stuff like that. If in a perfect world, if we only ate whole food, that would be great. But anyway, it's just everything all works together. I call it the symphony of life. And with Niken, what's so cool about Niken is they offer everything at every level. And there's just nothing else like it. So it's a pure joy to. And I'm very thankful when I was, for the fact that I was introduced to Niken. And, you know, so basically that's kind of what I have to say at this point.
You know, Andy, the two words that come to my mind are whether we're a victim or a victor is depending on what we allow in our mind. And you said it beautifully when you talked about the people we associate with, because that's what we become, and or the things we allow in. And it really is an ongoing battle for our mind, which is, you know, Barb Satterwhite and I have discussed this many, many times. You know, she's the same exact way, exactly what you're talking about. Specifically, Dennis Williams, we've seen so many people model this. You know, Michael DiMuccio, Botanic. When you make a decisive decision, it's very militaristic to simply say, you know, I don't want to allow that in. And we all know, and I remember teaching this to Addie a few months ago when she's watching something on television and it just sucked her in, and we knew it wasn't wholesome. She knew it wasn't wholesome. And we say, hey, Addie, what's the best way to fix this right now? And she said, turn it off. And I looked at her and said, well, that's actually the second best way. The best way is to change the channel, to tune it to something positive or something uplifting. And she was, all she was doing was watching stuff on YouTube, you know, and how bad can YouTube be? Really? No? Well, but that's the thing. And so if you hang around, I mean, I'm all into, in a pinch, drinking McDonald's coffee. But I met a couple on an elevator a few days ago at a hotel while we were on a family trip. And they both had these big things of coffee, and it looked like they'd just come from the lobby. And I said, hey, if you had to rate this coffee, are you guys avid coffee drinkers? And the husband said, well, of course. And the end of the conversation was the coffee at this hotel was basically lower than McDonald's. And, but it's our choice what we allow in. And again, Andy, it's not just the food. It's that mindset.
Yeah,
and if we don't want to, we do need to choose. And we've seen that. And I don't have poster children, okay, or poster people, so to speak, but you and Vicki Walters and Lori Jones, and there's so many others, Dr. Heather Locks, who dropped significant amount of weight in a measurable amount of time. And the first question, the first response that even I ask, that other people see all the time, especially when they look at before and after pictures, well, what'd you do? I need to do something like that. Well, it's number one, it's going to be a journey. And I would never say it takes work, but it takes a disciplined mind. And you do get to choose healthy and wholesome foods. You know, you mentioned sugar and bread.
Yeah.
And sugar is an easy one. That's a no-brainer. It's so overprocessed, it's so refined that it does nothing to the body. And we can Google it if we don't know how bad the statistics are today compared to where they used to be. But I know for myself how easy it was to eliminate bread and see the results. And I know that the bread grown today, even if it's organic, the roots don't get down far enough. They're not picking up the trace minerals, so the nutrients down there. But Andy, for you, why was bread such a big deal?
Well, I've told you before, you know, being a Finnish boy, our family's from Finland, and Scandinavians love sweet breads and things like that. I mean, reality is, it tastes great. You know, I mean, there's only one food group, everybody. It's bread, just so you know, okay? none of the other stuff really counts. I mean, you know, my dad was an amazing baker. He could make anything, but he, you know, I mean, homemade sourdough bread out of the oven with butter on it, my goodness. I mean, you know, you just can't stop. But, you know, it's just at this point in my life, you know, I'm approaching 69 years old. I have tendencies toward gout and things, and there's certain things that I just have to leave alone. And that's the other thing about dieting. Don't ever worry about what your friend does and what he eats, because we're all a little different. We really, truly are. Our makeup, but there's basic truths in dieting, though, too, that, I mean, sugar is public enemy number one. Creates, you know, all kinds of inflammation, and cancer feeds on it and everything else. But, you know, so with my diet, I have to be careful of things that aren't high in purines, you might say, because it tends to give me gout issues. But that's where the water comes in. The water really helps so much. But I think I've lost my train of thought. But the whole point is we're all different. What I would say is totally make up your mind. Make that decisive decision to do this, but don't try to pre-plan everything. You'll learn as you go along. But anyway, bread is just something that, you know, if you want to lose weight, you got to get it out of your system. That's just all I can tell you. When I don't eat bread, the weight just comes off really easy. And do we have pizza once in a while? Yeah. But even now at this point, I'm leaving even that alone, just because, you know, the pain of gout is just too much, and I don't want to ever have it again. So, but I hope that answers your question. Bread is good. And actually there's some things it's good for when you're going through certain health issues. Bread, believe it or not, can help take those toxins out of your body in certain circumstances. But as a whole, bread needs to go. It you know, but really gets down to pretty much more of a vegetable diet with limited amounts of meat. And but like I say, everybody's got their own way of doing it. I'm not, the whole point is just do what works for you and get going. So hopefully that helps.
Andy, last Saturday, our family was traveling, and we were in a place I'd never even heard of before. I did not know it existed, where Calamity Jane is buried, and Wild Bill Hickok, and I'm referring to Deadwood, South Dakota. And I love the perspective of our oldest daughter, Kenna. At 22, she's become an avid runner, and I think I mentioned last week, a couple weeks ago, she did rim to rim, a 25-mile hike in one day from the southern rim to the northern rim of the Grand Canyon. And she's just turned into this runner, and she just keeps going and going, and watching what she eats and what she doesn't eat has been fascinating for me. And she's not extreme. But her comment about being in this place called Deadwood, I mean, the title alone, it was like, why would you name someplace Deadwood? But every other shop was a restaurant. And she said, you know, Daddy, if I had to live here, I'd have to have a garden or something, because this type of food. I said, well, Kenna, it's kind of like a mini Las Vegas. It's really not, this is geared for, you know, vacationers. This is not geared for everyday life. But it's exactly what you just said. And we talked about that as we drove. When you drive as many miles as we did all over the, you know, four different states, you have time to have conversations. And it's really interesting. And I said, so I'm constantly going, hey, Kenna, what are the 20 somethings? What is the focal point? And when I've seen and met her friends, whether she's doing a video chat with them or they're FaceTiming or whatever, or they've come out here, or when we've been in D.C. while she was in university, they're all like this. The mindset. And again, we all know, we've heard the stories. If you want to soar like an eagle, you know, way high up in the sky, don't be running around on the ground with a bunch of turkeys.
Yeah.
Because we become guilty of association. But it was that concept of not just food, but also drink, you know, what we allow in. And folks, if you're a bread lover, I'm not going to apologize for Andy, because he stated what his journey's been on. But I would agree 100%. And for me, it was when it came to bread, it was an article probably a decade ago that my dad shared with my brother and I, out of Mother Earth News, and it specifically talked about the bread, again, even organic grains, wheat, barley, flax, all these things. The soil in our country has been so over-farmed, and it hasn't been let lay, as a biblical word, let lay fallow, and I think I'm mispronouncing that, but just let it alone for a year. Give it a break every 7 years. And so it can rebuild or figure out ways to naturally, organically fertilize it. The roots used to go down like an ordinary thing of wheat, a wheat kernel, a wheat plant would go down. It'd go down like 3 and 4 feet. And now it's just a matter of inches. So they're not getting. So the bread produced today, again, unless you import the flour from other countries, and there are some manufacturers here in the United States that are doing that. But bread used to be, the whole wheat used to be more of a protein source, and now it's more of a carbohydrate source. And so then it converts to sugar in the body, and as Andy said, you know, it leads to thing like gout. And that's not really a medical claim. It's just simply a fact of life. If you don't want this, then don't eat this. And if you don't want this, then don't do this. But the flip side of that is approaching it from the positive. Is the things that we get to do. And KVB, by the way, and all of us in Nikan, we know how simple and easy it is to use and how great it tastes and what it does for ourselves. And I've got a dear cousin who is looking forward to starting with that. He's got some other things he's dealing with right now, and Andy's actually met him, my cousin Johnny. And it's been a journey for him. And even living has been a journey. So, but What I want to do now, I want to transition really quick if we can. I know there's people on the line because I've got them running through my mind's eye right now, things I've learned from them, and I could start quoting them, but I'd love if they wouldn't mind hitting star six and taking a few minutes and sharing some of their trade secrets. What have you done to either maintain the physical body that you're getting to enjoy? And or when your journey started or you made that decision, what are some of your tricks, your trade secrets that you just said, I and while you're thinking about that and processing, I was thinking of Dr. Wayne Dyer, who is no longer with us, but he wrote so many amazing books. And Andy actually gave me his last book on CD, and I listened to it multiple times, and it was the title alone, Excuses Be Gone. But in that book, he talked about, he said, I was never an alcoholic. He said, I'd go and run a 14, 15 mile an hour, 14 mile an hour, but 14 miles around the island of Maui where he lived. And he said, then I did a way to celebrate. He said, I'd go and put a bunch of empty calories back in my body with going down to my favorite watering hole and having a few beers. And he said, what changed? And this is the way he said it. I was not an alcoholic, but I stopped when I learned, when my doctor asked me, how much longer are you going to keep killing your brain? Because alcohol, regardless whether it's soft or it's hard, a light beer or, Jack Daniels, it doesn't matter. But all alcohol destroys brain cells and they don't rebuild. And he said at that point he made a decision. And at the time of this recording, the audio version of Excuses Be Gone, he said it had been 22 years where he hadn't touched it. And I went, no wonder why there's so many PBS specials with Dr. Wayne Dyer talking about the self-care, as Andy, as you said. If we truly do love ourselves, it's not selfish to practice self-care. We need to. We have to take care of this temple. So, star six, folks. Tricks of the trade. Things you've done.
Hi, Vance. It's Nancy in Cleveland. A couple of things that have gone through my mind. Number one, the scale is only a number. It really doesn't matter what it shows. What matters more is what your body is looking like differently. And another thing is constantly reminding myself I'm doing this for my health, not for what I look like, not to compete with anybody else. This is my thing.
Nancy, that scale, that's
measurements are much more important.
that scale thing is something that is kind of like an albatross or an Achilles heel to our culture, because all of diet company advertising is you see the before and after pictures, but it's the numbers. We're guilty of that. Even Andy and I, because he gave a number,
right?
A difference of 140 pounds, but you can't communicate via audio otherwise. Do you have a scale in your home?
I do, and the weird thing is, and anybody who has been on a long-term journey with getting rid of weight or maintaining it, there are times when I have gotten on the scale, and it's like, oh, wow, because I hadn't been on it in a couple of weeks, and I had gotten rid of however many pounds. Well, something in your brain says, okay, so now I can celebrate a little bit. Or the opposite happens. You've gotten on the scale and you've put on a couple of pounds. I thought what I was doing was working, so now I'm going to reward myself because I wasn't having anything for all that time and nothing happened. So, it's a double-edged sword, and your measurements are way much more important. People don't see the number on the scale. They see your measurements.
Yeah, and, Van? You know, yeah, go ahead, Andy.
If I could interrupt, I like what she says because it's exactly where I am right now in my journey. Quite honestly, could I take off a few more pounds? But, you know, I'm really done because from here on out, the rest of this is going to be retoning my body, you know, and building the muscle mass back. And so it's, you know, it really is way you can be thin and be unhealthy as can be.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, so, I mean, so we want to build up our strength. And, you know, like I said, I'm walking again. But now my focus really is, you know, because I've lost the weight, I think maybe I should keep doing it, but I realize now, no. In fact, I could afford to gain just a little bit. But the reality is I just need to take what's left and do it the right way, and that's to tone it up, you know, through walking and, you know, just getting back to the gym and that kind of stuff. And that's where your health comes from when you have the endurance and like you say it so I really appreciate what she shared. That is so true, and that's exactly the phase I'm in right now.
One other thing that I learned through the years, if you quote drop weight, when you drop something you want to pick it up. If you lose weight, when you lose something, you want to find it. And I learned to rarely, hopefully always remember, but not always, to not use those terms. I prefer saying I got rid of it, because when you get rid of something, you don't want to find it or put it back or pick it up or find it again. Ever see it again.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of those simple things. Most people in the world have heard the two words together, and just trust me, in less than 30 seconds, I'll come back to my point on this one, because you're going to go, Vance, what kind of coffee did you drink this morning? The movie Star Wars, okay, or the legacy or that empire that it built, and no pun intended on Empire Strikes Back, but in the movie Empire Strikes Back, one of the most quoted movie lines throughout history is Luke, you know, the voice of James Earl Jones, Luke, I am your father. But that's not the line. It's not. It's no, comma, I am your father. And this conversation between Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader, they're bantering back and forth. And he's like, no, that's not the truth. And he actually says, no, I am your father. That is the line. And Nancy, it's exactly what both you and Andy are talking about. This mindset has to change. We call things not as they are, but because it's been passed down to generations. Mm-hmm. And even when things change, we experience a huge, huge change in our culture. We're slow to embrace a difference because it's just ingrained in it. But we can. We quickly can say things like you're saying. No, I didn't drop any weight at all. That was, and I confront people on this all the time, to the point where like, wow, dude, you're kind of wired, kind of weird. No, if we don't, we wouldn't allow things into our home that are unhealthy. You know.
Well, that's another one of my mantras. Don't bring it into the house if it's not there. You are at 11 o'clock at night. You are not going to get in your car to go buy yourself a Snickers.
Are you sure?
Well, you are the rare one who would. There's no way in hell I would ever do that. So that's a good thing for me anyway.
Maybe,
but you know, your brain is always listening to what you say and what you listen to.
You know, and like through ICANN, we also know that, you know, one thought, negative thoughts cancel positive thoughts and nothing gets done. So, you know, guarding, it's really guarding the mind and,
right.
you know, is really what it's all about. Do you have little setbacks? Yeah, but don't beat the heck out of yourself. Just say, okay, I'm human.
You always have a fresh start the next thing you put in your mouth.
Yeah. It really is that simple. And the other thing, too, like Vanessa said that I've learned is that how we start our day literally determines the outcome of that day. So if I don't start drinking water till 1 or 2 in the afternoon, well, guess what? I'm not going to get the proper amount of water. So stuff like that. So it's just it's getting a routine.
A healthy one.
Yeah. Could I just share something really quick?
Go ahead, Andy.
I want to share something that to me has been totally bizarre through this. I've been involved in a number of organizations over the years, and some I've run, a good share of them. So I decided, I think it was a week ago Saturday, maybe it's 2 weeks ago now, I can't remember, to join up with a group of people that I've known for 30 years that, you know, and so I thought it'd be good to, you know, spend some time in fellowship with them. So I went, and absolutely nobody, there was only one guy that even knew who I was. It was so bizarre. And I'd look at him and I'd say, do you know who I am? Oh, yeah, I know who you are. But they had no clue. And even when they realized who I was when I told them, they didn't believe me. I mean, it's just the weirdest thing. It's like, who is this guy? I don't know this guy. I mean, I guess that's how much I've changed. But it's like I'm incognito. You know, I don't, in a way, it's kind of neat. I don't have to worry about the past or something I've done wrong because nobody knows me anymore, right? But it's a very surreal experience. It's just crazy. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. It's pretty different.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm thinking of, there was another comment that you both alluded to, is, you know, especially starting the day and what we allow in and what we purposely choose. Again, I love coffee. I really do, but moderation in all things. And I do need, as the book of Psalms says, as King David wrote, guard my heart with all diligence because out of it will flow my life story. And I'm talking about the ticker. And if I put a lot of coffee in, then according to everything I've read and people that are way smarter than I am, then it's just, it's not good. And I met somebody the other day, who goes through a pot of coffee themselves per day. That's 12 to 14 cups, depending on the pot. And, but the comment was so ironic because this person works in the healthcare industry, and she said to me, you know, Vance, I if I were in your shoes, I'd be getting my thyroid checked. Now we were together and I was wearing my swim trunks, so there's not much of me, but I had to cut. I had to think back to my DNA, my physical DNA, and my grandfather, my mom's dad, was 5'4", and I don't know what he weighed, but all of my childhood recollection of him, always at his ideal shape, size, weight, whatever, because he was so active, and it was a mindset. Now, he did pass away because of a massive heart attack. He had two, and the second one was fatal, but he didn't change fast enough, and his diet was brutal, but his active lifestyle and his mindset was so, well, at least what I remember of him. Again, I was 9 when he passed away, but making that decision every day that I you know, we choose this day, the philosophy of carpe diem. But, and we heard a psychologist speak, Stacy and I got the privilege a few weeks ago, and as she's speaking, she said, you know, in order for me to be at my best for you, she said, when I woke up this morning, I really wanted sugar. I wanted, you know, a coffee and a donut. And she said, but that wouldn't be fair to you. And if I'm supposed to be presenting 10 aspects of wellness, I need my mind to be sharp. And she said, so I got some good protein in my body. And it's just that simple. Andy and Nancy, what they've shared has been absolutely, and I'll go back to this, and this is one of those that I'll go back and listen to the recording. Anyone else got something that you want to chime in here? Something that has been revolutionary for you? Okay. Well, the one that I want to throw in here, too, that I learned from Sandy Martin years ago. Sandy, I think, I want to say in her early 70s, maybe mid 70s. I haven't really asked lately. But the whole, Andy mentioned this, the I Can Attitude program, which will be starting again soon. But, you know, things that she models. She's an avid jazzercise, I would say even fanatic, several times a week, but every day she's walking her dogs. But gain a pound, drop a pound, or let's take Nancy's approach, gain a pound, flush a pound, just flush it out of our bodies. Get that good Nikan Pimag water going in and get it out. And then keep weekend food on the weekend. And I would say being on a five-day vacation, traveling with my family, really, even take it a step further, don't even allow it in. We can make better choices. Yes, we're going to, as Andy alluded to, we're going to indulge and we're going to enjoy things. I'm going to a graduation party tonight for a niece, and there will be food there because I know how great of a cook and a baker my sister-in-law is. So I will indulge, but that in tomorrow being Father's Day, I'm not going to do a double header. So keep weekend food on the weekend. And for some of us, maybe even tone that down to maybe one meal a week that's out of the ordinary, something that's your favorite. But I know people who they indulge every day. Every day is a celebration of food and spirits and habits that are not healthy. And we really do. So there's a lot of pithy sayings, but I'll finish this. I'll wrap up our conversation with this. For me, what changed my life years ago was three, and I would consider them mentors in my life, three gentlemen that I have known over the years that I would call friends. And they sat down around a kitchen table and had a conversation. And David Robinson, who has been our guest on here, he talks about that, Dr. David Robinson. Let's have a conversation about that. Let's learn from one another. And, but this conversation, I'll never forget because I was blackberry picking, years and years ago in the summertime, and I listened to it twice because it was so good. But the title of that conversation was simply this: nothing will ever taste as good as thin feels. Nothing will ever taste as good as thin feels. So if I can use that to wrap up this delightful conversation that, go back and think about some of these great truths that Andy and Nancy have shared, because they're revolutionary. They're absolutely revolutionary. And I loved, Andy, that story you told about reconnecting with people that you hadn't seen in, you know, three decades. They don't recognize you. Because I do that with high school classmates of mine, and it wasn't that big of a class. And we live in a very small town, and I see them. Now, it's different. We're coming out of a pandemic, so the masks are coming off, and so I can see the whole face, the whole person. But I've made that mistake a few weeks ago, and I thought somebody was somebody else because I just like, wow, holy smokes. And it wasn't being self-care minded. And I would think even if we dove into that even further, selfishness is really not taking care of ourselves. We think it might be, but that's a warped mentality. So really want to encourage everybody, utilize what Nikan's given us, the whole concept of the wellness home, and we have it all now. We definitely have it all with the Nature Rest Fit. And man, if you don't have yours yet for a reason, I'm not beating up on you, but when you get it, you'll understand the difference. And I was just thinking, tonight could be the night that we've had ours for a couple of weeks, but traveling and then being away the last 3 days, tonight could be the night that I actually could go for like 7 hours. What a great Father's Day. And I'm not being selfish. I'm being self-care minded to sleep 7 hours. Even one of the young men that I was with this week, he said, Vance, why do you get up so early? I said, because I can. Because that's when my body wakes up. I said, I really love mornings and I love coffee, but I love to read. I love to learn. And that's how I do. I do it best first thing in the morning. And then I love to interface with other people via text or via phone call, or via email. You know, there's all kinds of ways, but I do that best when my mind is sharp and when I've given it the things that I know that it needs. And after a full night's sleep, we actually burn more calories while we're sleeping than we do watching TV. And that's a truth. That's a fact. You can Google it if you don't believe me. And there's so many other benefits. Sleep, water, air, nutrients, grounding. We do them all. I've been sitting here grounding since we started this conversation and I've been thoroughly enjoying it. So, SaturdayAMLive.com is the website. And I always want to throw that in there because the recordings in the past. And if you missed, for some reason, if you missed, Captain John Hogue, the pilot for Delta Airlines, what an amazing, it's a very long conversation. However, he shares some truths. And I don't know if it's next Saturday or the following, but he did agree to come back and field your questions because, by the way, he was correct. The airplanes that we flew on between here and Montana on our family vacation, both airplanes, I don't know if it was the exact same airplane, but they don't have sinks anymore. You can't wash your hands. And I thought, where did the sink go? I actually took a picture of it because my family did not use the restroom while we were in flight. It was a short flight. And there's no sink. I don't know if they took it out or if this is a newer plane and they're manufacturing them that way or what. But there's a massive bottle of hand sanitizer, which I thought, okay. I always thought, you know, washing your hands with warm soap and water for, you know, 20, 30 seconds is the way to go, but I guess now we're going to not do that. So anything, but John talked about that. And I want to encourage you, if you missed that conversation, catch it on Saturday AM Live in the 2021 recordings, because he talked about that coming out of something, especially something that's affected the globe. He said, oh, there's no sense of returning back to normal. Oh, there will be some sort of normality, but we're going to be better as a result. And we're seeing those changes. We're seeing people were forced to do exactly what we've been talking about this morning. Been forced to practice self-care. So I want to thank Andy and Nancy so much because this has been so vital and beneficial for me. And look forward to keeping the conversation going as the journey continues. Thanks again, you guys.
To learn more about NECAM, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.